I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 478's
After Show.
What did you go to this Halloween for? What did you dress up as, Terry?
So, it did not make any postings, except for maybe one or two golfers I ran into that have pictures. Otherwise, I didn't publicly post that I was officially the disc golf Guy Fieri when I was in Vegas this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a little effort into it.
Did you frost the tips?
Gotta
frost the tips.
No, I went. That's the one thing I'll change about the costume when it reemerges. And so this was a trial run. It'll reemerge. I don't know when, but at some point it will. And rather than going with a silver, like hair dye putty type.
I mean,
product.
I think a wig is probably better.
Well, rather than going with silver, which is kind of where his hair color is today, the problem is that's not synonymous with the Guy Fieri that everyone kind of instantly thinks about. It was definitely the frosted slash like straight up just like bleach blonde yellow hair.
Correct.
is really the guy that everyone knows. However, a few things that I took away from being in Vegas on Halloween. Well, there's a lot, but a couple of specific ones.
The question is, did you take away any money?
No, unfortunately, that was not the case. I won on the horses playing.
Horses.
Nah, it's just a game that's on Fremont Street.
So I thought you were like betting on the ponies.
No, it is one of, I think, only two or three in the country. I looked it up a few years ago when I learned about this game. There's only a couple that exist now that are left in the country, and it's one of the most fun games you could play down at the D down in on Fremont Street. Anyway, I won a few dollars there, but I lost on the blackjack table. Another story. One of the big takeaways was that I just need to change up the hair color, but I was excited that there wasn't really a second guessing. Nobody came up to me and like guess the wrong person.
Well, no. I think there's, again, knowing me, there's two famous celebrities you could always go as.
Yes.
Guy Fieri and Mark McGuire. If you want to pick one of two people.
There's a third then.
Oh.
That I've been almost mistaken for. And I wish I had the physique to be more of a Mark McGuire, which I never have, but
well, no, but you've got the goatee, the reddish hair,
yeah,
like that. You know, who's the third, Terry?
Larry the Cable Guy. Now is there something?
Really?
Is there something weird that Larry the Cable Guy, Guy Fieri, and the disc golf guy? There's
all a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
I don't see you as.
Yeah, I think a cutoff flannel. Now, Guy Fieri sometimes goes with like a plaid shirt that kind of became
sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Everyone knows him for like the flame shirt.
But yeah. then also he was kind of a bowling shirt slash plaid shirt guy for a little while. Mm. And then Larry the Cable Guy, well, you just take that same plaid shirt, you cut off, you rip off the sleeves.
I think
you put the hat on with the fishing hook, and that right there, that's some funny stuff.
Yeah, like, but I feel like you could do that with almost any person. You put me in a flannel cutoff
physique and
I don't have the goatee and the physique, but I still think that is like the cutoff flannel and the hat really give it away for almost everybody. Now, not to say that you don't fit the bill.
Unfortunately,
better than
I look like him. Yeah,
I'm with you there. I'm not gonna lie, Terry. But I feel if you're really looking, like, without the shirt or the hat, I just don't see.
Oh, see, people have said, you know you look like Larry the Cable Guy. Like, on a plane, I'll never forget, on a plane, and somebody actually said that to me, and I wasn't wearing a hat with a fishing hook in it any camouflage or
I'm not
or
saying
plaid.
It's unlikely that someone, but I don't see it nearly as much as I do the other two, as Guy Fieri or Mark McGuire.
I think I look a lot more like Larry the Cable Guy than Mark McGuire.
Oh, I don't think so. I think facially, not physique, but facially.
Exactly. I have some natural physique here that works for me when it comes to Fieri or Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you look like classic Cardinals McGuire.
Yeah, that I do. Yeah, way back in his heyday. Not cool. Now, if this means I have to start doing steroids.
HGH, my friend.
Whatever. Are we splitting hairs at that point? Are we splitting red hairs at that point, for crying out loud? So, anyway, it was pretty well received. And the amount of people like, Guy Fieri. And there were a number of people, just straight up strangers. They'd say that, no big deal. But a few people like would actually stopped me on Fremont Street and like, dude, that outfit is awesome. That looks great. Like I was appreciative of the strangers' compliments. The other kind of unique thing that I was surprised about, I saw zero other Guy Fieris. Like, and maybe it's just because the costume is, quote unquote, the costume little bit.
I was going to say, you were in Vegas. Did you go to the Guy Fieri restaurant?
I walked past it a few nights. That's on the Strip, right next as you're leaving the Link, which is one of my favorite hotels. That's when you leave the Link and you're heading over to Harrah's. But I ate there during the...
I've never been to Vegas. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I ate there during the Las Vegas Challenge this year. Not impressed. The food was just okay. It was better than the time I had Guy Fieri's in New York City a few years ago. So,
well, as everyone kind of says, I don't think you're going to Guy Fieri's for like the fine dining cuisine. Like
he's a chef. You should be, right?
Yeah, but
him more than say Mark McGuire's Steakhouse.
No, which is funny. I would completely think it's the other because I don't expect Mark McGuire to be making me steak.
So you assume his is going to be good.
I'm assuming he has not that the other guy doesn't have a professional chef, but I think that the quality, like a steakhouse, I'm expecting a good steak. When I go to Guy Fieri's, I'm expecting like American food. I'm expecting a good like cheeseburger with some fries and some sauce. Like I don't expect, again, fine dining from
call it fine, but it should be good sense that it's his.
It should be flavorful. That's what I would expect. More flavorful, because
I had the chicken when I was there.
Of course you did.
February. Meh. Yeah. Anyway, I don't need to. I walked past it a couple times this weekend, and of course I chuckled to myself. But so anyway, I haven't dressed up in a number of years. I hemmed and hawed about the idea. I almost showed up to the course in said attire. I don't want to call it chickening out, but I ultimately didn't, and I reserved it for Fremont Street on Saturday night, and I will say it was a success. So now I have all the basics, and so I'll spoil it now that next time, if you ever see me in a costume, the next attempt will be another Guy Fieri, the disc golf Guy Fieri. It's kind of like a Missy Gannon Burr thing, where the name
you can only roll with that so much.
True.
Like at some point, you can't do it. Like 2 years in a row, sure.
But I'm saying golfers have never seen it.
No, you're right.
So I did run into a couple golfers on the Strip, and a few pictures were taken. But I did a very poor job of otherwise documenting it myself. So
all right.
Anyway, that was. Did you dress up?
Barely. I went with.
Don't tell me you were Larry the Cable Guy.
I was not Larry the Cable Guy. Dark blue jeans, and I have an Ernie from like Bert and Ernie sweater, the blue, red, yellow striped sweater. which is sits in my closet all year long because my daughter loves, this is the second year in a row she wanted to go as Rubber Ducky. And so I just throw on the Ernie sweatshirt and walk around the neighborhood with her. And, you know, it's, and we do about maybe 3 or 4 blocks, which is about all she really wants to do before she wants to go home. And she gets herself a little thing of candy. Unlike my son, who, you know, him and his buddies, even though they're freshmen, I was trying to think of, like, at what age did I stop trick or treating? And it must have been about 15-ish to 16, where I stopped trick or treating. But because he's 14, and him and his buddies all went out and they ransacked the neighborhood. You know, they knew the houses from last year that gave out the full size candy bars.
Okay,
so they made sure to hit those right away. And but yeah, so I went as Ernie, my daughter went as Rubber Ducky, and my son with two of his buddies. There's an old Monty Python skit about the Spanish Inquisition. You never expect the Spanish Inquisition. Where they're all wearing red, like frocks almost. My son had a big hat. There's one that has an aviator's cap, and there's one that just kind of has a tighter red cap on him. And again, I don't know where he picked it up from. It must have been something that my wife introduced him to, or something along those lines, because it's a Monty Python skit from like the early 80s or late
70s. Yeah, I was going to say, what age do others have to be to get that reference?
Oh, I asked him. He said one person got it. One person in the entire walking around understood.
The adults in your area didn't get it.
I think you have to be like in your 60s probably and understand Monty and have been a fan of Monty Python.
Okay.
Because even our age, that was probably 10 years before us. So probably mid-50s. So he said one person got it, and he didn't really care because he thought it was fun. Him and his two buddies got to dress up as the Spanish Inquisition.
I knew I wouldn't get it because that wasn't my thing, but I also wondered how many others.
No, even I wasn't a big Monty. I love Monty Python movies from, you know, Holy Grail, Life of Brian, you know, all those things. I love the movies. I was never into the TV show, really, which is where this came from.
Okay. Tim says he would have gotten it.
Tim would have gotten it.
And just to wrap up.
Yes, as Robert Kuhn says, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition, which is 100% what it was. And they thought it was funny because no one would, as they said, no one would expect the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you're right.
What
no
a clever
one,
play.
No
yeah.
one would have picked, no one would have picked you. So,
all right. Just to also fully tie it up, it is called Sigma Derby. And it says, if you Google it quickly, when I was talking about that horse game, this 34-year-old game was a staple in most casinos and is a star attraction at the D. Currently, it's the only one remaining in the city. Sigma Derby is a beautifully crafted track game that includes 5 mechanical horses. All you have to do is bet on the horses that will finish in first and second. And you can play for as little, literally, as a quarter. Wow. And they give you different odds. And it's just a lot of fun. I've had a lot of hours spent watching this, and it's a very low budget form of entertainment when you're there. So make sure you go check out the Sigma game. I think I looked it up a few years ago. I'll end it there, but I feel like there's only a few left in the world now after being such a popular game, as it was saying, and it can only be found downtown.
And I guess I to follow up the Halloween question, your daughters, did they dress up?
Funny, I don't think I saw any pictures. I know Kenzie went out. I don't think Allie went out to go. And I don't know if I even really saw pictures of what they were. So it must not have been too
extreme.
Too extreme. I will say that Mackenzie, my younger daughter, managed to close down the final night of Six Flags Fright Fest last night.
Oh, great.
And believe it or not, well, tonight was supposed to be the night on Halloween. They were supposed to be open till like 10 or 11 tonight. It snowed in the area, in Wisconsin at least. And so I believe they actually closed Six Flags and it wasn't open today. So I'm glad they did get to go last night. It was open till like 11 o'clock last night, which is crazy that on a Monday night that wasn't Halloween yet, it was still open till 11. But she managed to close it down last night. So Kenzie so, getting full use of that,
that
she, pass.
She closed down Six Flags last night at 11 and still went to school this morning?
Well, there was some flexibility there that her and some friends, some liberties taken.
Wow.
That's not my... I don't make all those parenting choices. No.
Clearly.
let's just go there.
Let's leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. So, yes, that was all part of the ordeal. A couple other things I'll quickly make note of. I was asked, spoiler, I guess, assuming it's happening, I was asked today to be on Tour Life podcast tomorrow evening. So if you're listening live, I think I'm going to be a guest.
Well,
now, to be fair, I wasn't reached out to. I was asked by Paul today, and he said I would get some other information that hasn't come. So maybe it's not finalized, but I believe that it is.
Well, Brody's been on our board, so we'll
so maybe
we'll,
he'll
we'll
confirm. But need to know some times because I actually have to run kids around to volleyball. So if somebody, Brody, if you could let me know,
I think it's
exactly like a time frame. Just so I can plan my...
Are you just going to be on... Do you know if you're just being on as a regular guest?
I guess
are they looking for an expert on something?
No, I was just asked if I'd be interested in joining. And I blindly said yes to that. So if that's about all that I know as of right now.
Okay.
Brody says you're good. Okay. Well, yeah, just give me a rough estimation on the time frame. Again, I have 12 and 15-year-old kids to offer up rides to, and that's the only reason why I asked.
It's probably around 8:30 Eastern,
so 7:30 Central ish. Okay, all right. One way or another, I'll make it all work. Not a problem. Anyway, so that will happen. And a follow up that's unrelated is last week I teased out that there'd be possibly a big special conversation/announcement tonight. That's pushback. So next week we're going to have a pretty exciting special announcement that will be able to be discussed, but with some things going on and everything else, we're going to push it back. So next week, you're just going to have to tune in. I guess that's all I can say to it.
Big announcement. Announcement.
Special, big. Bigger for some than others. It's more satisfying for me and a few others than, I don't know. I guess it's exciting, but, and Johnny doesn't even know what it is.
I don't know. I'll ask him after the podcast.
Yuli wanted to know what it was too. I said, you're not going to find out because it doesn't get released till next week. So you nobody's going to find out. There won't be any breaking news tomorrow night on it either. I'll just, again, tease everybody. So there you have it. I'm trying to think of outside of play. As I said, I'm in the regular show. Excited to be in Vegas for the beach here this weekend. That went really well. Congrats to the staff and the crew and everyone, the club, everyone that was able to pull it off. We saw a new tournament director. Sam had taken over. We've seen a couple different tournament directors are keeping the blood fresh. Some other notes that let's just say this because I don't know what I should or shouldn't share. So I'll kind of say here's what I can say for sure. The Las Vegas Challenge has requested two potential dates for next year. And we all know that
one alternate date
and then possibly keeping their original date. So that's what I can share is they have requested an alternate date that is a few months later, obviously, than their originally slotted February timeframe. So I don't know when that gets officially decided. It might be as early as tomorrow. I think PDGA is trying to lock in all the A tiers. And I didn't ask explicitly to share the alternate date that they requested, but they have put in an alternate date that is later than the February 24th-ish weekend. And I think we'd probably find out here really soon as to if that will be granted or not. But that is something that's pretty exciting. And I know there's just been a lot of conversation and hubbub of a better term, when people were talking about what the schedule is going to look like for next year. Obviously, the Pro Tour with the All-Stars and then the first event of the year all starting out in Florida. And then would Vegas continue? What they did confirm, though, from the club and others, big-time sponsors, Innova, obviously a huge sponsor, but other big-time sponsors are on board. Wild Horse, you know, three or four days, whatever the case is, looking for additional media coverage. Like, they still want to go all out, and I think they're going to treat it just as if it were as big or bigger than ever, any other time. It's their 25th anniversary, and they want it to be, you know, as big and special as possible. So that's what I can relay for now, and maybe I think maybe even as early as tomorrow, I think the PDGA might be talking A-tier schedules. I'll follow that up and say maybe we'll have some more insight, but I believe tomorrow is a PDGA Board of Director Fall Summit that is also starting. And so we're excited that as that happens this week, maybe as early as next week.
The A-tier schedule will be released tomorrow, see? Is what Carrie Neal is saying.
Maybe as early as next week, too, we'll have some other conversation pieces and maybe even some PDGA representation that can talk to us regarding the board and the summit that they're having. So I did reach out to the PDGA just today, and I said, hey, if there's anyone, you know, either a contractor or a board member or a PDGA employee that wants to step onto our show and have any projects or conversations or initiatives, plans, whatever, as always, we welcome anyone that wants to join us. And they said, yeah, let's plan it out, and probably sometime in the next few weeks we'll have somebody from the PDGA to, you know, talk all things PDGA or maybe a very special or specific initiative, whatever the case might be. But just know that that's going to happen sometime soon. All right. What else? Yeah. Yeah. I was just trying to recap in my mind. I just want to again say thank you to everyone from Las Vegas and the I'll follow it up, non-golf related in any capacity. And I know you haven't been there, Johnny, but
I have not been to Vegas.
Las Vegas is like a shit show right now. Largely, almost exclusively, at least, because of the Formula One race taking place there.
Oh, yes.
In 3 weeks.
I imagine just everything is getting prepped for that. And there's probably places you can't go. And just,
it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. They tore out, if many of you are familiar with the Bellagio fountain. First of all, it's not running, so if you're there, you're not able to see it, which is a staple in visiting Las Vegas. Currently, they don't have it running. They tore out the trees that are right there in the median on the sidewalk by the fountain, because those are all
going to be lanes.
They're already seats.
Oh, seats.
They have seating all over. And I know Brody's out on the board, but they have seating all over. There's people working 24/7 as you're walking through the strip. There's construction everywhere. Like you said, they have certain places marked off that people will and won't be able to go, obviously, at that time. But even right now, there's a ton of road construction. There's all sorts of stipulations, I believe, in terms of what, like the asphalt and how it gets treated and what's available. You're hearing it from me now after just visiting for a weekend. I don't know how in the world that place is going to look and be completely ready in less than 3 weeks for what they're pulling off or trying to pull off. If and when it gets completed, and if it looks 90% as good as they projected, I'm going to be blown away, because that place just looks like a...
Those are people that know what they're doing.
And I get it. They're working 24 hours a day. There's security people just fending off other people from getting into areas. It, as if Vegas needed any more chaos or craziness. It just being there this weekend and seeing it, and then every local you speak to, every Uber driver, absolutely infuriated and pissed off and frustrated about what's going on. And then on top of it, I think there's a threat of the culinary union, maybe culinary and hospitality or something,
going on strike.
Yeah. And that obviously includes, you know, restaurant, but I think it includes the housekeeping.
Yes.
And like 55,000 people.
I don't know. I heard something about it. I didn't know when they were talking about the strike.
So. Yeah, well, I think the conversations are happening as we speak.
You want to talk about having some leverage?
Yeah, exactly. When you're about to host,
this giant F1 thing. It really, Vegas has made a real effort to get into sports over the last 5 years with the Golden Knights, and then bringing in the Raiders, and now F1 and
UFC. Obviously,
UFC has been going there for years. Yep. Boxing has been going there for years. But really to get into, to become a real sports town. Obviously, they've always had the gambling and whatnot, but it's amazing. And now they've got their crazy dome with the
sphere.
The sphere. Yeah, thank you. Not the dome, the sphere that has all the advertising and whatnot. It's crazy. I can't wait to someday get out to Vegas.
Yeah, it's I don't think I'm unique in saying this, that there's so many pros and cons to both the two major focal points being the Strip and Fremont. Lots of people are kind of one or the other. I love to dabble in both. I think they both have their unique perspectives and offerings when you're at them, but certainly both of them. I've said before, Vegas, what really changes in Vegas during Halloween, I don't know if it's a heck of a lot, but nonetheless, certainly a good time. And speaking of which, I saw him this weekend. He's a staple in the Vegas scene. He's a staple. He's just all around one of the nicest guys out there that we see. Kerry Trotter celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kerry, also playing
in the event this weekend as well. But great to always see Kerry Trotter. If you're at all a little bit of an old school golfer, you'll know who we're talking about. But Kerry is a staple there from a playing perspective. So very cool to see him out there. All right. WT Force, Wade's asking details on tour life. It's happening tomorrow night.
Tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern.
Well, that's when he said that I don't know if I'm going to be on right away, but
yeah, who knows?
Either way, tomorrow night will be live. All right. We got snow. We talked about that here in Wisconsin. Nothing like a little snow on Halloween.
It was funny because it snowed for the morning commute and then stopped and then picked back up literally for the afternoon commute. My normal 30-minute back and forth was about 45. So it wasn't too bad. I take side roads to get to downtown from where I'm at. I take the lakefront. And normally, it doesn't matter the type of conditions. It's almost always a straight 30 minutes, but there was some construction, which kind of threw a little wrench into it. So there was a little backup that cost me an extra 15 minutes. So.
Okay. Has there been anything else crazy going on around the Packers? I saw 0 minutes and 0 seconds of the game, but sounds like I didn't miss much.
No, it was it's bad.
Okay.
The Packers.
Can we blame the quarterback or others?
A little bit, but ultimately we can blame others in that the quarterback doesn't have a lot of time to throw.
Mm.
His wide receivers and tight ends are young. They're dropping balls. There was like three specific passes that would have probably gone for first downs that the players just couldn't hold on to the ball. Literally hit him in the hand. I think one hit him in the face mask. And the other one, like, he kind of had it, but then the defender, like, just barely even made an effort and took it away from him. It's a young team. The Packers are not. I went into this season personally thinking if we get 6 to 7 wins, it'll be a successful season for us. I didn't expect playoffs. I don't know if we'll even get there. They are trading. They traded away today at the end of the trade deadline. Rasul Douglas for a 3rd-round pick to Buffalo, who is... Buffalo is a win now kind of team, which makes a lot of sense. The Packers are a win in the next 2 to 3 years kind of team. We're stocking up on draft picks, and we're looking to, we're already, I think, maybe the youngest team in the league, and we're only probably going to get younger. So it's going to be difficult. I don't know if it's tough to say if Jordan Love is going to be a good quarterback when, his prime running back has been injured all season in Aaron Jones. His main wide receiver in Christian Watson hasn't been healthy all season. He's playing with a half a deck of cards. It's really tough to evaluate a guy on he's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers could still could take this team and still get to probably 9 wins without a problem. He's not Aaron Rodgers.
And okay.
We'll see. I mean, I got to give the guy at least, 2 to 3 years and hopefully at least try to get something behind him. But Johnny, have you seen Victor Wembanyama? I don't know how to pronounce that. I know who you're talking about from the Spurs yet. I'll keep asking till you say you've seen him. I have seen him. He's a giant. I saw him even before the draft because there was a lot of talk about him. I'm not any sort of crazy scout or anything. I don't pay much attention to the NBA other than the Bucks. But I have seen him. He is a giant beast of a man, and not even, beast as in just height. And he's young. He'll probably still fill out. He's going to be very scary when he fills out in 5 years. Like Giannis. Giannis was a beanpole coming into the league, and now he's he's a very manly man, that Giannis. So he is he's going to be something special, it seems like. So, yeah, he's from France. He is he 7'1"? Something like that, I think, in height. Just he looks like a, in all intents and purposes, he looks like a freak. Just so long. He's got like a, I think they said an 8-foot wingspan, and that he can easily guard, you know, 10 feet when he puts his hands out. And just they showed insane. Someone shooting a 3 and him jumping up, and he was like 6 feet away from the dude and still blocking it. He's a broken human. He's a broken individual. I pronounced Wembenyama. Wembenyama. Thank you. I'll have a problem with that. But he's crazy. I look forward to seeing him play at some point. Hmm. Maybe if he comes to Milwaukee, we'll get a chance to see him play for the.
Wait a minute. How does our Australian counterpart Kinga know how to pronounce that? Way to be on it, Kinga. We love you. Real quick, I wanted to talk about for just go for a sec in that the NADGT championships taking place this weekend.
We talked about that.
I know we did, but a few numbers to add to it. 996 competitors in total down there this weekend. And I saw a post from Patrick Brown today, and I think Ricky Wysocki. Clearly there's a lot of representation there from our, you know, our top pros and other companies.
MA1 by rating.
I did.
Oh, who's the top
rated? Elijah Cleary rated 998. I think maybe the more interesting number to me is the 189,237 as a PDGA number, which is mind-numbing to me.
Well, I just think that we, in the past, we've seen some really good competitors come out of NADGT.
Yep.
Kyle Klein, yep. Silas Schultz, Mike Groth, right?
Yep. Yeah, a lot of those guys.
Yeah, like all of which are names. I mean, Mike Groth is probably the least known name on the tour right now. He's playing, but he's not really in contention at this point.
Chris Kesselhoff.
Younger kids, but those are guys that, you know, if you want to see what the future of our sport looks like, watch this weekend. Watch these guys, because you're going to be seeing them pop up on the tour.
Yeah, and 998, top-rated competitor, Lucas Carmichael, 994, Corbin Milcheski, 992, and Caleb Nash at 983. Caleb Nash with a PDGA number of 42679. So that's got to be one of the lower PDGA numbers.
Yeah.
Yes, he has the lowest PDGA number.
Do you know who that is?
I feel like I've met Caleb.
Is he a younger guy that like got signed up by his parents? Is he older?
He's got PDGA numbers since 2017, and if you click on that, maybe we'll see when he first came into the PDGA.
Yeah,
he was playing Junior One Boy, so he was under 19 in 2017. So, the math would tell you that.
That sounds about right then.
Yeah. So, anyway, seeing that is pretty incredible to see 212 of those competitors. And then when you're looking at FA1, the other highest division, so to speak, there, Allison, whoop, I apologize. Let me sort by rating. Yeah, Allison Latch rated 875, Rebecca Minnick rated 871, Kai Klein at 866, and Ashton Weberly. Listed at also at 866. So those are your top four competitors, and I won't go through all the divisions, but so those are, you know, clearly you got to be thinking, like you just said, you look at an AM Worlds, you look at an AM Nationals, those are often, you know, winners there and top performers there are clearly right on the cusp of becoming your, well, next generation or your next amateur title. You know, champions are also the, you know, in the training grounds for the elite level professional side. So good luck to all of them. Good luck to everyone part of running the event, a 996 person event. Is borderline insane. So to the Kyles and Dave and everyone else involved and everyone in Texas, good luck. That's what I'll say there. Sounds like a pretty insane undertaking, for sure.
Non-disc golf question for you, Terry.
Uh-oh.
Have you played with or used ChatGPT at all?
I don't want to say surprisingly, but I almost surprisingly have not essentially touched it. Which feels like I should, and I feel...
I mean, if you don't have a use for it.
That's... No, I feel like there could be uses for it, but one of the things that I noticed just today, I was driving with my daughter in the car, and I had a question. Maybe you can answer this, but I had a question for Google, and then where eventually are we going to cross the line between Google and ChatGPT kind of spitting out the same stuff? And I forget what it was, but I know what it was. I said, hey Google, when is the championship volleyball match for WIAA girls volleyball this weekend? That was the question I asked Google.
Okay.
And it spit up the WIAA website, and it actually brought me to their bracket. Pretty damn close to what I was asking for. Like, where is that line between what Google can answer and then what chat? If I would have had chat GPT open, would it have given me?
Not with what you have for ChatGPT, because the ChatGPT, unless you pay for it, is limited to, I believe, data from 2 years ago. Just training data. Now, they do have their new version that if you pay for it, ChatGPT and ChatGPT-4, that you can point to the internet. And there are even plugins that will just go out and search as well. But right now, for you and me, because I don't pay for it, that is not a question in general you probably would want to ask ChatGPT. That's much more of a Google question, certainly.
So but when will Google that? So that still poses the question, like, when is Google going to be so smart that it can?
Oh, Google. I mean. You mean when is ChatGPT going to be so smart, or when?
No,
is...
or Google. Like I say that because it was something that was so timely and specific. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, why are we there? Are we almost there?
We're almost there.
Why aren't we there yet? Like, what else is it going to take? Because I want to just be able to just literally ask anything.
Yeah, in the next couple of years, I think most of it, like the voice assistants, will all be run through these these large language models, and just be able to answer anything for you, and just. At least give you an approximation. Whether you can trust the data, that's a whole other thing, especially if they're just telling you as opposed to like bringing up a website like you were looking for. Because if you asked Google Voice Assistant and told you, oh, it's April 3rd, 2023 or something, you're probably just going to assume that's right, but you don't know for sure. At least with a website, you can look and verify like, oh, yeah, there's a real website here. It brought me the WIAA website. I get it. I mean, I think we're a ways away from the chat modules being up to date. I know there are voice plugins for ChatGPT for the paid people and this and that it will talk to you just like Siri.
Yeah. I just need to pay for it then. Cause maybe that
I've thought about paying the $10 a month for it, but
it's $10 a month,
it's $10 a month. Yeah.
Hmm. Is Space Force in charge of that?
They're not.
All right. I just got to think about who's behind it. If I trust it.
And I was asking because in general, I use it all the time. Like, I use it for work, my 9-to-5. I have it a lot of times if I want to...
Hey, ChatGPT, how do I make it look like I'm busy today?
You're not too far off, Terry. No, in general, I use it to, like, write a lot of scripts for me mm-hmm. because I'm too lazy to, like, write a PowerShell script. Like, I want to take a script that, hey, guess what? I want to add a new user to my Active Directory. I want to add it to email. I want to add it to this. I want to make sure they get this. I could sit and spend an hour and a half to write a script, or I could just say, hey, do this for me, and just be a little bit more verbose, maybe 2 to 3 sentences, and it will spit out 95% of what I need. Like, oh, I need to change this and alter this. Over the last week and a half, I have used it for like things that I've never even thought about, like programming.
That
like,
was going to be my next question. How long before I'm just asking a program to write everything I want.
Pretty close. Honestly, like
I'm not a programming whiz. I don't know if you know this.
I'm not either. I know Windows and I know networking. I know the basics of programming. I watched a couple over the last couple months ago. I watched this thing on how to program in Laravel, which is what Skipbase is programming.
Yeah,
and that I don't know because I've handed it off. I don't understand a lot of what it does and how it does it. But I want to be able to update it, so I watched that. And I have this new idea that I want to start kind of trying to work on, maybe a new format. But the guys that I'm paying over the off season already have a job. You know, they're working on a specific set of goals for Skipbase. But I kind of want to do something maybe a little different. I'm like 80% of the way to what I want as far as like the programming language. So I will just literally tell it, hey, Laravel, or hey, ChatGPT, write me a Laravel page that does this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay. And it gives me step by step, and here's how we do it. And then it'll give you things like, this is where you put the logic. And I'm like, okay, cool. Put the logic in there for me, and I want it to do this. And I'm like, okay, this is a good example of how you want. And it takes seconds. And it's literally just a matter of repeatedly asking it questions. I am amazed at what it can do. And I know Tim has worked a little bit with the art stuff, which I haven't touched. Mm-hmm. But just in general, it's going to break people.
Yeah.
Like, like lawyers, I think, in general, I think a lot of maybe doctors, as far as my understanding is, a lot of people now that have access to the version 4 are able to put in all this information and get relatively good diagnosis where they can just go to their doctor and be like, hey, is this what's wrong with me? And people it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. That's what this is. A lot of people, I think, are worried that ChatGPT or automation is going to eliminate a lot of low-paying jobs, and I don't think that's the case. I think we're going to start seeing things like accountants and lawyers, and I don't want to say doctors because obviously you still need surgeons and things like that. You can't get rid of that. But I think you're more than likely going to see a lot of that middle management type, that middling data input go away in the next 10 years or so. And not that I'm saying I'm worried about economy, because I think this is going to end up making jobs just like every new technology practically does. But I was just thinking that today as I was working on it, because I don't know anything. So I've got this back end of the program that's mostly done. Now I need to work on the front end of the program, which is design and things like that. But even that, I don't know how to make that interact with the back end. So I just ask it questions. Hey, how do I get Flutter to do this? Oh, try this. Oh, yeah, that looks like exactly what I want to do. And I just copy and paste it in there.
No.
It is really scary and crazy. And that's only the free version that I have. That's why I'm so tempted. I'm like, I want to pay for the full version and see all the extra cool crap that I can get. I want to plug it into the internet and really kind of go from there. So.
Yeah, I will follow it up. There. When I open, I want to say, I don't know if it was Photoshop or Illustrator the other day in Adobe. I opened it up and it said something about, here's our new new creative AI or generative AI. And I think I typed in bear and frisbee maybe to see what it spit out. And it was kind of interesting, and it gave you a couple different versions. And like you said, you could continue to refine it if you wanted. And I thought it was kind of funny what it was, just from an artistic perspective, what it was spitting out. I'm like, wow, I guess I have my new logo coming.
I used the old Midjourney, which is just another image creation thing. And this was maybe a year ago, and it couldn't do disc golf. Like, it just doesn't understand. Like, I was saying something like, hey, give me a disc golf basket in the woods. Wow. It doesn't understand what a disc golf basket is. No. And it would just give you the weirdest, like, deformed cage kind of. Mm-hmm. And then you try to explain, like, no, it's more like a metal basket with with chains hanging down and into a metal basket with a pole in the center. And it's hard to describe a disc golf basket without actually showing a picture. It's kind of. It couldn't do anything. So Tim is saying both Illustrator and Photoshop have generative AI.
Yeah, it was one of the two that I logged into this weekend.
Yeah, I haven't messed with the Photoshop one, but it's scary. And I keep thinking, like, how is this going to at all, if anything, change disc golf or sports? And I don't know. I don't know if it will. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you're going to be able to, at some point, just, you know, if we're going to be able to say, hey, build me an app like Udisk. And it'll be able to go through and be like, oh, sure, I can, here's you know, 90 or 80% of what Udisk does or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, granted, Udisk does some phenomenal stuff, and I'm sure they're using AI for their programming as well. But it's we're in for some crazy changes, Terry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and earlier I know I was just talking about, sorry to backtrack, but I do want to mention the NADGT going on in Austin this weekend. If you look on DGPT and their news section, it says the FA1 lead card is teeing off at 9.05 a.m. Central, and the MA1 lead card will be teeing off at 2.05 Central. So that's what you'll be able to see this weekend, and I just wanted to button that all up and be able to share that with you. Let me put that in for anyone that really cares. It's also now a link in the chat at the moment. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see. And Dondo on the board is saying basically everybody should be finding a way to get caught up or on board, or you're going to be left behind. And of course, that's going to be, I think it's going to, if you are more in tune and up to speed, clearly you're going to have a distinct advantage in jumping on things way before everyone else, basically adopting. I agree with you. If you're adopting something like that early, cause it's not going away. It's not going to lessen.
And just last week I had to write a new policy for our office for something to do with email and security. And I was just like, ugh, I don't want to write this policy. And then I thought, huh, let me go to ChatGPT, and I just put it like, write a policy for email security, and then one other thing. It gave me like an 8-point full page, and I was like, well, that's really good.
ChatGPT, write me out of my own position at my job.
And I copy and pasted it. I literally altered probably a dozen words just to make it fit a little bit more with our industry, and I gave it to our lawyer and said, there, that's pretty much what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, cool. That's great. Good job, John. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, you're so smart. Right?
No.
That's not what you're saying? All right. Seth Muncy was also out on the board a little while ago. Seth, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate you you hopping on. Carney said, is the PDGA 100% AI articles and art now? I do not believe that
PDGA
is the
Magazine,
case.
100%.
Yeah. I think, Ray says, I think one of Tyler Brickley's last disc golf comedy joke was making the DGPT thing for Smashbox.
Yes, he did do that.
That silly goose. What should I throw on hole six is what Tim wants to ask. Yeah, maybe at some point it'll be smart enough to, break down distances. Probably,
maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, if you asked it like, hey, I've got about 5 mile-hour headwind, it maybe at that point knows in general your discs in your bag because you've put it in there,
yeah.
And at some point maybe you've even submitted video to it, so it gets a general profile of you, and it's like, oh, odds are you probably
don't
want...
throw a forehand, you idiot, you suck at those. Yeah. What are you thinking?
You want to throw your beat destroyer here, and don't throw it poorly, dumbass.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't blame me when you miss.
Exactly. I think, I don't know how much it was new, so to speak, it wasn't really news as much as the PDGA just in the last day or two, at least on the socials, put out geographic representation of the majors. I think that was also released on the PDGA, socials here recently.
They did.
That was something else that I saw. Oh, okay. So now multiple people. I'm looking at someone who went with the eagle/disc.
Well, I mean,
it's not really particular to eagle.
No, we've seen that in the past. Like, that is not an uncommon costume to have the discs.
I will release one tomorrow. There was a gentleman, and I apologize. I don't know his name. Hopefully, I can learn it. In Vegas, specifically, had a very eagle-themed costume, and maybe I'll pull that from the footage and release that as a separate clip tomorrow, but I did see some of that in Vegas. Also, I thought it was of note just yesterday that over at a B-tier, because we're usually talking about B-tiers in the MA40 division, DGA presents the Odyssey Challenge at De La Viega. Did you see this?
No. Oh, no, I did see this. Yeah. PDGA released this.
Yeah, a 13-person, well, the first 13 people that are in this division were all separated by a single stroke from one spot to the next.
Yeah, so it went
in
even,
perfect
plus one,
order.
Plus two, plus three, plus four, plus five. So all the way up to plus 13.
Plus 12, yep.
Or plus 12, I'm sorry. That nobody was. There were no ties from first through 13th, and they were all one stroke apart.
Truly incredible. Like, and their post was, you know, when you see it, and for whatever reason,
it took
me 1 second. Yeah. I was like, holy cow. Like, every person mm-hmm. is separated by a single stroke all the way down to 13th. It was pretty cool. Weekly plug. Cold Turkey is now probably close to 2/3, if not 3/4 of the way full. That's the C tier that I host right after Thanksgiving. 72 spots on Saturday, 72 spots on Sunday for all the other divisions. And then if you can't or don't want to play two rounds in either of those single days, you could play in the flex start that's exclusively offered on Saturday, where it's just two rounds of nine on the very short and very easy Red Fox course. So you normally play Gray Fox, classic pins, two rounds of 18. That's for the regular event. If you don't want to play in those Saturday or Sunday, or you get shut out or whatever, don't have the time, then you could be playing in the flex start. So just wanted to throw that out there. And real quick, 50, so only 19 spots available for Sunday remain. And on Saturday, I think it's even less than that. There are 14 spots available.
Okay.
So get signed up if you want to come play in a tournament that I'm offering at the end of the month.
Let's give something away, Terry Miller.
Yes, let's give it away.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Yes, little blood sugar sex magic.
Yes. Patreon.com/SmashboxTV. You can be eligible for our weekly giveaway. We have 135 people eligible for our giveaway this week. Again, all you have to do is give as little as $1 a month. I just ordered another mini, a Dymax mini, so I'm going to have to update our picture.
Nice.
So thank you to our $5 patron for doing that. He signed up earlier this year, and it finally got around to doing it. I was literally waiting for somebody else to do it, and then they lowered their tier, so then they weren't a $5 patron before. Like, it was just a big mess, and so I ended up putting it off, and then I just put it off even longer. So. Completely my fault, but yes. So patreon.com/smashboxTV, sign up and you can be eligible, or you can go to smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways every week and have to sign up for that. Like a pleb.
Yeah, you can do that.
That's
all right.
That's the lame way to do it.
Let's do it. This weekend, my big win on the horses while playing Sigma Derby. Mm-hmm. Was on the horse, the 1-3 combo. There's five horses. You select a button, which two will finish in the top two spots. And I always go for the biggest odds. You're betting a quarter. So I always go for the biggest odds. And the biggest odds that hit for me at any point in playing that game were on the 1-3 horses. So naturally, we have to go with two as our number. We're going to
split the difference. All right, Terry, two is our number. They are sorted
the
by
number.
First name.
Sigma Derby at the D.
Our
this
first
is
number is
48.
Our second number is 79. So
79.
So I just have to scroll up a little bit and sort it. Oh, no, I didn't sort it by first name. I'm sorry. It is not sorted.
It's all out of sorts.
Yeah. So 79 is Kurt Bimmler. Congratulations, Kurt Bimmler.
Love it.
I think we've mentioned his name before, but it's been a long time.
It's been a while. I do recognize the address, though.
That's creepy.
I do. No,
that is creepy, Terry Miller.
I'm outside your house.
Look out your window. I'll give you a disc. Trick or treat.
You say Kurt. I say Kurt and Rods. I'm right outside your window. Okay. Yes, Kurt. It's been a while, but I do recognize this city and state. So, yeah. Sweet. Kurt, coming your way. I like it. I've got a special disc to send your way, and I'm happy to do
That's awesome. Congratulations, Kurt. Thanks for being a Patreon supporter for quite a long time, actually.
Speaking of supporters, this weekend, a big supporter rolled out of the Facebooks. One of my favorites out of Madison, Ron Witt, a real brainiac.
Is this just the time when Terry just takes the dunks on people?
I might. The only reason how this further came about is the Pro Tour took it upon themselves to post a little throwback clip of me. Did you see that?
I did see that from Disc TV?
From Disc TV from back Sandy Point.
2002.
Ooh. To which is always funny, and I'm clearly not offended by it, but it's always funny when people are like, what? He played or plays disc golf? Yes, I do or have. Some decades were much better than others. But yes, the... So 2002, which would have made me, 24? Holy cow. I guess that was a little while ago, or so.
Yeah.
But yes, there was a clip of me making a putt as they were cutting from one segment into another. I believe that actual full episode covered USDGC and probably at some point covered the Sandy Point Team Invitational. And so there was a B-roll clip of me making probably a circle's edge putt.
Sure.
And a lot of the comments within there I was amused by people. Some people who do know me or knew my game had very polite things to say. Ron Witt, a complete just D-bag of the largest proportions, decided to chime in and didn't go well for him. And then, which is fine, he went on to say some mean, nasty things, and then I made a post that kind of rebutted him apologizing to me a couple years ago for being a dickhead. He said, I just wanted to say, hey, I'm a super big D-bag, and I apologize for being that to you all these years. I was wrong.
And then he came out.
And then 3 years later, he comes back.
Maybe he forgot he apologized.
Well, I posted the apology for all to see. He forgot that I saved my receipts, as the kids would say.
Yeah, you do.
And it was kind of a funny interaction. But I do appreciate all the kind words and the funny things people posted when they see that I was playing disc golf back in any year, let alone 2002. Well,
at 2002, you were already a veteran.
Yeah, I was I was gonna say that was already my seventh Worlds by that time, and I'd been playing for 8 or 9 years, so anyway, it was pretty funny to see. Josh McDaniel just got fired.
The Raiders. He's the head coach from the Raiders.
Brody's wife is now the coach. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she would do probably just as good of a job as Josh McDaniels was doing.
I take it he's not good.
The Raiders are a mess like the Packers. The difference between the Raiders and the Packers, the Packers are a young team that...
And we have cheerleaders from the local high school?
We do. No, local college.
Oh, yeah.
St. Norbert.
That sounds right.
It's from St.
Thank
Norbert.
Thank God.
Yeah, local high school. That'd be creepy. I know it's a little up north, but a little creepy. And the Raiders are a much more established team. They were kind of hoping that, they have a really good running back. They had, Devonta Adams went there. They pulled in, Jimmy G as their quarterback from the 49ers. They had kind of like an established team that they were thinking was a playoff contender, and they've just sucked. Just sucked. And granted, Jimmy G got hurt a little bit, but he's coming back. They've just been a bad team. So it's like different expectations when you expect to be a decent team and you turn out you suck versus the Packers, which everyone knew kind of was this year was more of a building year, and you suck. Yeah, that's a problem. And I think it's the second time now Josh Josh McDaniel was fired from a team. I think he got fired from the Broncos a couple years ago.
Mm.
And then he went back to the Patriots.
So that's not good.
It's not working out well for him.
Okay. I'll try not to. Yeah. All right. Do we have anything else we need to cover? Let me check the boards. Pete Uliberry, real quick, put out some coverage. I did not get a chance to watch it, but I know that he actually, like, I think filmed, probably commentated, and did some other things, some of his own coverage on a card.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty cool. So big shout out to Pete. Many of you have referenced how much you enjoy Pete on commentary. He's done so with me very graciously. And so pretty cool. And he's also a phenomenal drone flyer. So it's pretty cool to see that now he's taken another step in putting in some shot-by-shot coverage of his own. Oh, Crosby is a beast.
Defensive end.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
And Young.
Yeah. Or something like that. All right. I think we can call it. We appreciate all of you guys for joining us tonight. We, of course, appreciate our headliner, special guest in Disc Golf Strong and the Pro Tour's own Seth Muncy. So thank you so much for joining us, Seth. Hope you guys had a good Halloween. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. And happy anniversary to all those out there celebrating. For Johnny V, I'm the Disc Golf Guy. That's 478's after show. We'll see you next week with some big news. We'll see you then when you step inside the Smashbox.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.